Welcome to the Michigan Opportunity, an economic development discussion series featuring candid conversations with business leaders and innovators across Michigan. You'll hear firsthand accounts on how the state is driving job growth and business investment, supporting a thriving entrepreneurial ecosystem, building vibrant communities, and helping to attract and retain one of the most diverse and talented workforces in the nation. And now, your host, Ed Clemente.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. We're fortunate to have Dr. Thomas. She's the president of SEAL. Her name's Alois, and she is here to talk to us. Thanks again for being on the show today. Appreciate it.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
I'm probably happier than you. You sound like a lot of fun. So we've only had one prep call, so it's great to have you on the show. Why don't you kind of tell us what, you know, SEAL is
as a company? Absolutely. Happy to. SEAL stands for Solutions for Energy Efficient Logistics, and we help utilities and other stakeholders get to their clean energy goal. This can be from appliance recycle programs to weatherization programs or energy efficiency program, as our name states, Solutions for Energy Efficient Logistics. Our key focus is on efficiency, sustainability, and community. We've been in business for 15 years, starting in April, but we come from automotive roots of companies that have been in business since the 70s.
What kind of roots?
Yeah, so MCL Jasco is our parent company, and MCL Jasco started off with Motor City Logistics and Jasco International. And those two companies were a part of James Group International, which is John James and Lewis
yeah.
James. Yeah,
yeah,
and Lewis James.
Oh, that's your husband.
No, no, Lewis James is the younger brother.
Okay, sorry, yeah. I don't want to start any family fights. Sorry about that.
No worries, no worries. And MCL and Jasco were originally joint ventures between the two brothers. And in 2006, Lewis James independently bought out his companies. And then in 2009, he started SEAL, which is Solutions for Energy Efficient Logistics, in the energy efficiency space. I was fortunate enough to start with the organization in 2001, so I was able to work both in the collaboration and independently with Lewis James under the SEAL umbrella.
Oh, I'm so glad you gave me that history. I didn't know any of that.
So
you, like, for example, why don't you tell us what your PhD is in, by the way?
Sure, I will. So I'll tell you, I'll go back a little bit. So I am DPS. I am a Detroit Public School graduate. I'm matriculated through John Marshall, Nolan, and John J. Pershing High School. So I am a proud member of the Pershing High Alumni Association. I am a Pershing Doughboy. I am also a graduate of University of Detroit Mercy, where I fulfill my passion and dream of becoming an accountant. And I was a non-traditional student. I attended courses while working, and I was determined to continue my educational goal and be the first doctor in the family. So I continued on to Walsh College, where I earned an MBA in management. And when they talk live, breathe business, that is true. I learned a lot, and I really believe that the Walsh experience, as well as the UDM Titan experience, helped me to become the businesswoman I am today. But that wasn't enough. I still said, I'm going to be a doctor. It's not going to be medical. But my passion for business and diverse businesses caused me to work toward a doctor of philosophy degree, from North Central University, where I was able to really combine my passion for business with studies on small and medium enterprises. And so I completed a qualitative multiple case study on factors that influence success or failure in the African-American business. So I was able to really learn about and research diversity, inclusion, and training, and the importance of workforce development before it all became very sexy to the world, right? For me, having about 80% of my professional career working for diverse businesses, this was important because I had worked for businesses that were highly successful, and I worked for some that were no longer in business. And so I wanted to figure out what really helped the small and medium business. And so that was my research. So while working, as we talked about, I worked with MCL Jasco companies when they were part of James Group initially, and I was in the corporate finance department. And so as we continued to grow and I shifted to the MCL Jasco companies from predominantly James Group, I found this passion, oh my gosh, for energy efficiency. So we started SEAL in 2009. And in 2011, I moved from the corporate finance side to the operations side, where I was really able to align my passion for numbers with my purpose of helping others. So at SEAL, we work with energy efficiency and we work in the community and we work with sustainable options for people. And it's just something that really helps to make you feel good about making an impact to the environment.
So why don't you, by the way, I got to give you one plug too, because when I was a kid, I remember I loved the Doughboys because, you know, it was just seemed like something, because that was World War One. That's how old that school was named after.
Yeah.
And Doughboys was a World War One thing. And I just thought that that was such a cool name for a high school, always, for a sports team.
It's so many of my family members, both on my mother and father's side, that are Doughboys. That blue and gold really bleeds deep within my family. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no. I used to have a buddy that was a coach in the public school leagues, and he used to always try to get their jerseys because he liked them so much. why don't you unpack a little bit about some of the different aspects of energy efficiency? Because I think I told you I was in the legislature, but we worked on the energy efficiency bills back then to implement a lot of what you're doing to help people have not high gas bills and things like that. So can you kind of unpack it for us a little bit?
Absolutely. Energy efficiency is very important in the state of Michigan for several reasons. Cost savings, environmental benefits, and energy security, as well as job creation and economic development, right? From a cost savings perspective, when you look at energy efficiency, it really helps both residents and businesses save money on their energy bill. That was the purpose of Public Act 295 and all of the attributes of it. So we know the great state of Michigan experienced variances in temperature every year, right? We've got cold winters, we've got hot summers, and we've got a lot of things in between. I think we're expecting more inclement weather soon. So efficient heating and cooling systems really help reduce your energy expense. So at SEAL, our work with utilities across the state, including DTE Energy, Consumers Energy, the Upper Peninsula Power Company, and Indiana and Michigan Utilities, as well as other munis and co-ops, have helped us to support cost saving and environmental benefits to customers throughout the state. So when you think about the environmental benefits, you know, energy efficiency really reduces the demand for energy, right? Which in turn lowers greenhouse gas emissions and other pollutants associated with energy production. So this really helps to mitigate climate change and improve air quality. And that's particularly important in areas like Detroit, where you can benefit both the environment and public health. Also, when you think about energy security, by reducing the state's dependence on imported energy sources and energy efficiency, that helps to really measure energy security and enhance energy security. This is particularly important in Michigan, which has relied historically on coal and natural gas. From a job creation and ED standpoint, you know, investing in energy efficiency creates jobs in various sectors that contributes to the local economy, right? And support the growth of a sustainable and resilient energy infrastructure. Over the last few weeks, I was at the Midwest Energy Efficiency Conference, Midwest Energy Efficiency Association Conference, where I have the privilege of serving as the board chair. At this conference, we were able to really look at a Midwest focus, particularly focused on, you know, what went right, what went wrong, how we can improve, and how we come together and see how we're continuing to promote sustainability, reduce energy costs, and enhance the resilience in energy infrastructure. So all of that is important. All of that is really what SEAL do and why it's important in Michigan.
You're listening to The Michigan Opportunity, featuring candid conversations with Michigan business leaders and innovators on what makes Michigan a leading state to live, work, and play. Listen to more episodes at michiganbusiness.org/podcast or download The Michigan Opportunity through your preferred podcast platform.
Once again, our guest is Dr. Lois Thomas. She's the president of SEAL, S-E-E-L. So when you talk about that, the training and efficiency, because I remember specifically, what does that mean when someone comes in your house to weatherize your house? What does that do? Do you need people that are like I don't know, insulation, like what kind of things specifically?
Absolutely, sure. So technologies, energy efficient technologies such as LED lighting, improved insulation, energy management systems, programmable thermostats, these all yield significant energy savings and reduce carbon emissions in the short term. Right. And so when you look into other tactics like cold climate heat pumps and other wraparound services, I mean, we work with some of the marginalized communities in the state and we implement programs on behalf of utilities that can help people that may need a new furnace, people that may need a new refrigerator. There are all type of programs that help them beyond just the energy efficiency measures, but also wraparound services like you may need a new roof. If you need a roof, certainly me giving you a new furnace is not going to make you efficient. I need to look at the totality of the home and see how we can help make your home more efficient. So some of these attributes go over and beyond just energy efficient measures, but also retrofitting and kits and wraparound services to help the most vulnerable population be more energy efficient.
And one thing I thought you said too is you're actually, are you just Michigan? But you said other states you work with too. I mean, obviously you said you have people up in the UP too, right?
We do. We do. We implement the entire portfolio for the UP. But in addition to the great state of Michigan, we also implement programs in Illinois for both ComEd and for Ameren Illinois. We implement programs in Kentucky for Louisville Gas and Electric, and we implement programs on the Northeast Coast. We actually are finalists in quite a few RFPs, which is very exciting on the East Coast. And so we've had an office in New Jersey since before COVID, and we've been really working hard on some attributes and some business there. We did a pilot for Philadelphia Gas Works for gas thermostats in that region. And so we have a huge focus in the Midwest with a passion to do business in the South, as well as on the East Coast.
You mentioned something earlier, and I don't really know what it is, but it's I've heard about it because I know United Kingdom is going through this, where they're trying to convert a lot of their homes to heat pumps. What are those?
You know what? That is an excellent question. The cold climate heat pump has really been, you know, because we're in a cold climate.
Right.
But that has really been a prevalent measure in our state. It's really, it's more expensive than your traditional items that you put. But they're a device that transfer heat from one location to another using a smaller amount of energy. And so in heating mode, heat pumps extract heat from the outside air, right, ground or water, and they're transferred indoors. And so there's different type of heat pumps, including air source heat pumps, ground source ones, which are geothermal. But throughout our state, we realize as we migrate to more clean energy tactics, this is a measure that we have to take a look at. And there's training, different training programs throughout the state that we're sending our employees to. And we're really being ambassadors and leaders within the cold climate kind of momentum, I guess I should say, because it's important. It's a critical measure that we realize we have to use to continue to make homes efficient.
Yeah. And I would imagine in every climate, whether it's hot temperatures or even the temperate places like Tennessee, northern Georgia, it's a different. So you would have to adjust given like the prevailing sort of weather that they're used to in those areas too. So you have to adjust from place to place, right?
That is correct. Absolutely. And when you think about, you know, cold climate heat pumps and renewable energy integration and behavior energy efficiency programs, there are so many things we can look at kind of short term, midterm, and long term as it relates to where we're going in our industry, right? And so it's just important that you realize there's not going to be one measure that's going to be perfect in all climates or in all situations. You have to look at a multitude or various attributes of measures based upon even the climates. When you think about the Upper Peninsula versus Detroit, there'll be different needs of measures that'll be more efficient for the homes in those regions.
Is there any other partners or stakeholders you wanted to mention? I know you've mentioned quite a few, but is there some other ones you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, I, for the sake of not getting in trouble, Ed, I won't mention too many, but I will say.
You'd be more in trouble if you don't mention them. Probably.
Exactly. I don't want to forget anyone, but I will say that as an organization, SEAL works with about 140 different community action agencies, nonprofits, and stakeholders in the community throughout just the state of Michigan. And that's not even including others in the various states. But we do this because they are your trusted partners in the community, right? And so if we're trying to do a pilot in the Upper Peninsula, certainly it makes sense to collaborate and work with the folk who have been in that region, who already have stakeholders who share this zeal for energy efficiency like we do. For example, I remember when we first started in Grand Rapids, it had to be like 2013 or 14, but in the Grand Rapids region, we immediately found organizations like the Western Michigan Environment Action Council. We partner in Detroit with various nonprofits. Oh my gosh, the Heat and Warm Fund, Habitat for Humanity. And I said I wasn't going to get in trouble, Ed, by starting to name folk, but these are our key.
There's only 137 more to go.
Only 137 more to go, right? But these are key partners that really have the same passion and zeal for sustainability that we share. So when we look at, you know, energy efficient urban planning, we want to look at some of the nonprofits that are really have that grassroots focus that share the same zeal and passion as we do. And so we work, like I said, we work with numerous of them. And we do this to make sure the best value proposition of what we're offering, the word is shared, right? We do a lot of work where we go out to local churches and speak and talk to congregations about the importance of energy efficiency. Because if you don't go anywhere in certain areas, you're going to the church, you're going to the local hardware store, you're going to your local Walmart or whatever. So we're out in the community, Ed, in various areas, making sure we can talk about the importance of energy efficiency, starting people on their journey for efficiency and why this is important.
You just created three more questions for me.
Great.
So, I just want to put a plug in. I'm from Downriver, and I know you probably work with the Downriver Community Conference or no with them. They're like the Downriver. I don't know. You might work with them, but they might be called something else in your products. But I know there's a weatherization program there. But where is your company located? That's what my next question is.
So great question, Ed. We are headquartered in the city of Detroit. We have three offices actually in Detroit area. And then we've got a facility near Grand Rapids. We're also in Marquette, of course, since we implement for that region. And so that's just our local presence. But we also have facilities, a couple, actually three in Illinois. We've got two offices in Kentucky. And as I stated, one in New Jersey that services our East Coast quest for growth.
And roughly, I know you probably have contract employees and a lot of, but roughly what do you give your number as is like how many people do you work with?
We have about 142 sustainable professionals helping us in this journey.
And one thing too, I wanted to ask you, we're getting close to end of time, which might surprise you, but so what do you consider future trends for your industry? Because I would imagine as you want to broaden your ideas and climate change is affecting things too, right? What do you see the future for your industry? Like, what are some of the trends?
Some of the trends we're seeing now are around, I spoke to energy efficient retrofitting a little bit, but I think within the next 1 to 3 years, we're really going to be looking at more renewable energy integration. So short-term projects will focus on integrating renewable energy sources like wind and solar into our existing infrastructure, but we'll also be promoting behavioral energy efficiency programs. So educational campaigns, incentives for energy efficiency practices, things that we've been doing. But when I look ahead 3 to 7 years as a midterm standpoint, because that's kind of how we forecast, think about the prioritization of sustainable urban development, right? Compact city designs, efficient public transportation, and green building standards. We're starting to see an inkling of that. But EVs, right? That's been a hot topic, right? We're focusing on the acceleration and the adoption of electric vehicles and building out the necessary infrastructure now. We are the motor city. So we want to make sure we're ahead of that, looking at charging stations and grid upgrades and making sure there's no disruptors in our processes. When I think about longer term, Ed, I'm thinking about, you know, net zero buildings and communities, carbon capture and utilization, next generation energy technologies. We talked a little bit about heat pumps, but there'll probably be advanced nuclear reactors, fusion power, and advanced energy storage systems. So very excited about the evolving trends and priorities and energy efficiencies, but they're varying time frames and various levels of impacts. So I think as a state, if we continue to address the short-term and midterm challenges as we've been doing, we can really work towards a more sustainable and resilient energy future.
Yeah, because I think of things like either Future City, Detroit Future City, or different LEED certified organizations, that it's better if we build it, if we're going to build new stuff, or if we're going to just, you know, we're going to do new stuff, but it'll save us a lot of time if we build it right the first time versus trying to retrofit it later sometimes.
Correct. I remember when DFC was launched, I think it was about 2013, but, you know, their commitment to look at land use and urban design, as well as economic development, really, really excited me, right? And of course, the green infrastructure is near and dear to my heart. So I think this is a long-term vision and roadmap for Detroit. And I think it's very important. And I hope, right, that as the years progress, they continue that passion toward the importance of this, looking at the sustainable development throughout it. Right. And so I don't want it to be a good idea on paper. We need to continue that momentum and make sure we're looking at it forward thinking always. Right. But always dealing with the constant challenges and promoting sustainable development across various sectors in our state.
Yeah. Once again, our guest is Dr. Lois Thomas. She's the president of SEAL. Last couple of questions. And I think you've kind of touched on this a little bit when you're talking about training, but if you could go back and talk to that dough girl, whatever you were back in high school, 17-year-old, what advice would you give yourself today?
Interesting enough, I'm glad you said that, Ed, or asked that question, Ed, because I try and go back and talk to not just my high school, but also other students, just to let them know that energy jobs are here. Right. So if I can go back and talk to myself, because my 17-year-old self thought tree trim and line workers were the only thing utilities needed. I didn't think of them needing advertising folk, marketing folk, accounting people, and representatives. So I would encourage my 17-year-old self and even other 17-year-olds to stay open-minded and adaptable. The energy landscape is constantly evolving, right, with new technologies, policies, and just there's so many things going on. It's challenges emerging all the time, but there's always an opportunity to help. And from a sustainable standpoint, you can never underestimate the power of power, right? So I would tell them that working in energy efficiency can be challenging and it can be demanding, but it's important to prioritize your physical and mental health and well-being and to realize that sustainable people are professionals that are passionate about the environment and we need the environment. So my advice to myself would be to stay passionate, stay curious, and never stop learning, because that's always kind of how I try and end speeches. Because for me, even beyond a PhD, I try and learn something different every year. So you have the power to make a difference in the world through your work in energy efficiency. So if I'm speaking to someone and I'm trying to, you know, shift them toward energy, that's what I say. But if I'm speaking to them and just telling them to stick with your passion, it will be you can, you should, and if you start, you will. So I like to motivate young people to say, you have to start. You have to try. If you don't try, you'll never know if you could have.
Yeah, and I mean, and we're at a real pivot point, like, for a lot of different things globally, even, right? And you don't know what the jobs are going to be like in 5 years from now, let alone, you know, 10 years, you know, what you should be going into, because there might be new fields that are going to be created, especially in places like sustainability.
Correct. What you do know is the environment is always going to be important. And so, right? And so if you're able to learn a skill, learn something, and push your passion behind it, because that's the biggest thing. This has to be a space that you love and you need to love what you're doing. And it's such a great feeling to be able to help others from a sustainable standpoint and put them on a journey to more efficient tactics.
Your last question is, what do you like best? Or was there a particular event or something you like about Michigan?
What I like best about Michigan is, you know, I don't want to date your podcast, Ed, but
I'm older than you. Don't worry.
I am fired up about where our Detroit Lions are. I know there's always next season, but I am fired up about how a sports team is able to bring together so many people for positive vibes in a community. I believe it is an attribute and something that we needed in our great city, but it resonates throughout our state. As I'm traveling to Grand Rapids and to the UP, if I'm rocking my Lions shirt, everyone is having a conversation with me. And I think that's important. And that's what we want energy efficiency to do, right? We want to light a fire under people so they're excited about sustainability, about climate improvements, about sustainable practices, about EVs, about the possibilities with an electric vehicle. And so we're going to light that same fire like our football team did as it relates to energy efficiency.
Well, now that we dated the podcast, I was going to also mention it's even going to get better with the draft coming here, too.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be so exciting. I can't wait. It's a live time. I'm also a board member with Detroit PAL. And so, of course, they are working on a lot of things with ex-PAL students that are now in the NFL and PAL parents that has a vested interest in this. So it's a very exciting time to be in the city.
Well, anyway, I want to thank our guest again, Dr. Lois Thomas. She's the president of SEAL. You're a lot of fun and you have a lot of energy, pun intended. And we appreciate your sense of humor, too.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate the opportunity. Have a great day.
Join us next week where we have two guests from Calumet Electronics Corporation up in the UP. Todd Broussard, vice president, the chief operations officer, and Dr. Meredith LeBlow. She's the chief technology officer.
The Michigan Opportunity is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Whether you're looking for small business resources, exploring an expansion or relocation, or seeking a world-class workforce, visit michiganbusiness.org to learn how you can make it in Michigan.